roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside our beautiful home in Mountain's Edge, it's the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters, and I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me, as always, is the devious and dastardly Goz, our ace co-host. What's up?
What up, homeboy?
Not much, man. Running on fumes. It's been a great sports weekend, and I'm excited to talk about all of it. Mostly MMA, of course, because this is MMA Junkie Radio, the official radio show of the five-time winners of the World MMA Awards. I hope you bastards voted for us, too. The voting already ended, so I'm not sure when they're going to. I think in October they're going to have the next award show, and I hope to be able to brag and say we're the official radio show of the six-time winners of the World MMA Awards for Best Media Source. Anyway, yeah, we're going to talk some MMA, and then, of course, I'll throw in a plug for my 49ers and maybe a little bit of Manchester United, maybe a little bit of the Lakers, who knows? And, of course, we'll cover all the latest news in the sport of mixed martial arts, along with the fact that we really should start turning the page, Goz. It's a big, big show coming up on Saturday. It's a pay-per-view. And there's two titles that are being contested, a vacant and an incumbent. And you and I are going to be doing a watch-along on Sportscaster. So why not start laying the foundation for that, right?
Yeah, that's the first card of another run at Fight Island.
Yeah, I think
five, right?
Five shows they're going to have at Fight Island, two of them being pay-per-views. And Dana White says he's going to be there for all 5 weeks. 5 weeks is a long time to be somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was in Brazil for 6 weeks. Then again, that was pretty fun. So maybe I take it back. Anyways, folks, buckle up. It's the MMA Junkie Radio Show, Sunday night edition, September 20th.
Y caballeros, hablemos MMA con Danny Segura.
Hola amigos, Danny Segura here. Just wanted to drop in and tell you about a new show coming to MMA Junkie. It's Hablemos MMA, a weekly Spanish language podcast dedicated to all things professional fighting. On this show, we'll be covering the biggest news and topics of MMA, plus highlighting the most relevant stories happening in the growing Latin American scene. Hablemos MMA will also feature interviews with some of the best fighters, coaches, personalities, and experts in the game. You can find us every Monday on your favorite podcasting platform, starting July 27th. Talk to you then.
We have 14 fights to go through, so I'm going to get started. I'm going to give the results. Three at a time, then you can chime in on what jumped out at you, or we can skip it, man. Here we go. Tyson Nam defeated Jerome Rivera, second round TKO stoppage. Andre Ewell then defeated Irvin Rivera, split decision there. Randy Costa defeated Journey Newsom, head kick KO.
Randy Costa is a nasty dude. Mm-hmm. That was pretty vicious. Tyson Nam is kind of like necessary. You need that type of fighter. He's one of those guys that you know he's always going to give you an honest fight. He's probably not going to contend for a title, I don't think, but he's got skills.
And he's been calling out Joseph Benavidez respectfully, but that's the way you do it. You know what I mean? Like, if you can beat Joe, then all of a sudden he might tap you on the shoulder and say, Goz, were you saying something?
Yeah, it's a good fight for him. It would be a good victory for him.
Right.
I don't know that Joseph would ever take it. But, you know, he's kind of backed into a corner, so who knows?
Joseph's fought everybody, so he may look at it as a fresh matchup. Or you're right, he may dick around and look. He already beat Alex Perez, but not Brandon Moreno. I don't think those two will fight unless they really, really have to. So who knows? We continue. Derek Minner defeated TJ Laramie. Jessica Rose Clark defeated Sarah Alpar. Sorry, I should say Minner submitted TJ Laramie. First minute submission, guillotine choke. Jessica Rose Clark defeated Rose Alpar twice, actually. Sarah Alpar with a legal knee. And then she came back and did a TKO. That's a whole mess that we'll get into. And of course, Myra Bueno Silva defeated Mara Romero Barella via submission armbar. What do you think of that, Brian Eddie Garcia?
Well, what can you say? I mean, obviously, we need to jump to this Jessica Rose Clark fight. That was a beatdown. That was very, very vicious.
Homegirl's getting married in 3 weeks, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I know.
The other one.
I think, but you know what? I've been seeing like a lot of fighters.
Like Hooker. Remember Dan Hooker?
Yeah, Hooker.
Him and Poirier had a hell of a fight, but he was all lumped up. And then a week later, I think he took a picture and he goes, hey, everybody.
Well, you have the purple phase, and then you go to the green phase, where it's like that light green color. And then I think you're good. But she's going to have
plus
stitches.
Makeup.
Yeah. It. I think it'll probably clear up right around that time, 3 weeks.
Should she have one of those masquerades? So everybody has a mask. And she can...
Like Eyes Wide Shut? Maybe.
Yeah.
But look, I mean, it's hard because Jessica Rose Clark did just about everything right. She fought off them takedowns. Her striking looked phenomenal, which, you know, that's a...
Her knee game. Serious.
Yeah, that's a Kieran Fitzgibbons thing. If you see him hold pads for all of his people, they're all throwing that little short elbow, those knees. She was just pinpoint accurate. She looked phenomenal. Question is, with higher level of opponent, is she going to be able to do that? I don't know if she can do it right now, but if she just keeps improving the way she is, I think she can. That's an amazing skill set that she showed that night. As far as the foul goes, geez, it sucks because it's Chris Tione again, you know, and sometimes I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just this sport or all sports, but have you ever noticed these controversies just kind of come like in twos and threes for these people? It comes in waves and then it goes away.
You know, he had a fight where I loved his stoppage, and I even said, there you go, folks, the one and only Chris Tione. Little did I know that later in the night he would be the lonely Chris Tione, because, yeah, man, he was on an island. Look, I want to say that when Sarah Alpar dropped down and got kneed in the face, 90% of this planet who was watching that fight had to have thought that was an illegal blow.
With a better view, probably, than Chris Tione, because it was off to the side, right?
Right.
And he was...
I know we all said, what the... Whoa, 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 whoa. Like, I think we all did that deal, all right? Mm-hmm. Or a version of it. And then, when everybody had the luxury of 3, 4, 10 replays, we noticed that it wasn't her knees at all, but it could have been her butt, except her butt never reached the actual canvas. The fence, by the way, had something to do with that. But regardless, the conclusion I would have came to was, even if her butt was just touching it, I don't think I'd disqualify Jessica Rose Clark because it didn't seem intentional. It seemed like Jessica was throwing it before the butt would have landed. But again, the fence was there. It never landed. It was legal. So here's what the controversy is. The controversy is Chris Tione stops the action because he thought he saw an illegal blow, sends both ladies to their corners. While all that's happening, while he's checking in with Sarah Alpar, we're all going, oh, what, no, look at this one. You know, we're all digesting that, seeing that we're the Monday morning quarterbacks. We've seen it all. And I think now we need to see, well, how's this guy going to act? And the way he acted was by saying, I never stopped the fight. I just realized it's not an illegal shot. We're going to continue. And then he walks over Jessica Rose Clark and puts her actually in the position where she would have been. So it's not like he even stood him up and took him to the center. Now, the controversy is, supposedly during the week, there was a tweak to that rule about using instant replay during the fight, not at the end of the fight. And there was a lack of communication because a lot of people, the announcers, the fighters, the referee, everybody just seemed like on a different wavelength. So before we put that final nail in Tione's immediate coffin, I don't think he's going to be banned from the sport, but he may take a few weeks off. But before all that happens, I think we need to figure out what's going on, because even Megan leaving towards the end, she tried to speak to the commission officials. They were giving no comments, but they were saying there was some changes. There may have been a lack of communication. So who knows? If he was told that, yeah, you can review it and restart the fight, then he really didn't do anything wrong, mm-hmm. other than assume that it was illegal, which it turned out not to be, which I don't think anyone could fault him for, because, again, as it was all happening, I think most of us thought it was.
Well, let's say that's the case, that you can do that. Did you like it?
Well,
I like it better if he called the foul, but then they said, no, it wasn't a foul, and then you reset. I like that, wait. But I don't know that
I like
it
better if he goes, that was a foul.
And then they say,
the fight's over?
No, he said, well, it's a foul, so right? So now you got to either take away a point or something, right? Something's got to happen. You got to see if she can continue. But in that process, they say, no, it wasn't. And they restart. I'm okay with that. What I'm not okay with is a referee kind of calling a timeout to a fight just to see if something is, you know, hey, is that good or is that bad? No,
he thought it was illegal, I think. That's why he stopped it.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. The way that transpired, I'm good with that. You?
Well, for him to assume it was illegal, I don't have a problem with it either, because it happened so fast. It happened so fast. I think I was focusing more on the knees, but it was really the butt that came the closest. And but yeah, I thought, ooh, you know, was that illegal? And to be fair to the other competitor, and I love Jessica Rose Clark, frequent guest of MMA Junkie Radio in studio, brought us Vegemite, love her, great gal, seen her at Extreme Couture all the time. But to be fair, it did look like it warranted for the referee to jump in there and see what happened. Now we come back to whatever it was. Once the fight has been stopped like that with that type of damage, should it be restarted? I don't know. I mean, last week they realized, hey, wait a minute. This guy didn't get hit in the nuts, and he got hit in the solar plexus with a couple knees, and then he came back and won. You know what I mean? So, all you can say is, ref, you need to take a few weeks off. You're just off a little bit for sure.
I'm glad you brought that up.
But as far as the calls, I think we want to have the least amount of stoppages in a fight. I'm okay with eye pokes and shots to the groin. But I don't want to go back and review fence grabs. Was he grabbing my shorts? This, that, or whatever. Because I don't see that anything different than receivers and DBs fighting hand control, or the holding that offensive linemen do, or the grabbing of jerseys in soccer or in basketball. If you're not cheating, you're not trying. I do subscribe to that. All the dirty tactics in baseball. That's just trying to get advantages. You're never going to get a clean game, even with the instant replay. People should stop trying to aspire for that, too.
I'm glad you called for a little bit of a break, because this is nothing against Chris Tyone. This would be anybody, I think, in his situation from last week. When he's putting on his gear, when that first fight's going off, he's probably got some pretty nasty butterflies, I think. Mm-hmm. Because if he's human, he probably was looking at Twitter, looking at Facebook, getting messages from people, an earful from his boss, hearing Dana's remarks all week. And then he's got to perform his job again. I always think of and I know this is kind of a stretch, but when there's a police shooting, right, that cop's got to take time off, whether it was warranted or not, right? Mm-hmm. They have to kind of level out his emotions.
And investigate.
He has to go see a psychologist for a little bit. I don't think it's that much different in sports at this high level. If something like that goes down where you're getting the blame for something big like that, it's going to take a while to build up your confidence again. I don't think you just throw them right back in. So it sounds mean, but I think that's the best thing for him, is maybe just take a couple cards off or something.
I also want to see a statement from these powerful commissions, especially right now. We're only dealing with one commission in reality. Hey, we reviewed it and there was no mistake. And then that backs up the ref. That boosts his confidence, his or her, I should say. And if he or her or she were in the wrong, then they explain, and then they let us know that they've spoken with this ref, and that they will be obviously keeping an eye on them, whether they decide that they still want them or not in the immediate future, who knows. But the NFL does something like that. They admit the mistakes, and then they explain what happened. And I don't even know if anyone even bothers the next week to see, oh my God, does that referee have a crew? Does he have his back judged? You know, the one that messed up the Seahawks game? I don't know that anyone really says that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it's all pretty transparent, upfront, direct, quick, it's handled swiftly. And that's that. This thing is always so, there's finger pointing, and he doesn't know, and she doesn't know, and Dana said this, and the fighters thought that. Man, let me tell you something. Fighters, most media, fans, I would say if you took an average, they probably know 50% of the rules, you and I included, all right? Like literally, if John McCarthy were to give us a test, all of us, and again, fighters, fans, media, I bet you we'd score 50, 60 or whatever. Now, mm-hmm. You're going to have some exceptional people that are going to score 95. I don't think anyone's going to get it right. Even the refs do stuff differently, you know? But you know, like I say, and the fan, everyone that's who bitches on Twitter and Instagram and you know, the sport lives off that, man. You know, I don't know. Maybe if you eliminate the fans, maybe we'd be closer to 70 or 80. Or the fighters, maybe the fight.
Maybe.
I think the media probably knows a little bit more than probably even the fighters and the fans. There's some very knowledgeable fans and there's some very knowledgeable fighters, but I'm just saying the average.
Have you ever taken the written test for driving again?
No, I scored a 70, by the way.
Okay, so I scored very, very high when I went in for my driver's test. But I had to help somebody study for one time. And just looking at the questions, I probably got like a 60 or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe even a 50. Something horrible.
Yeah, if you don't brush up on it, you probably don't know a rule or two or mm-hmm. here or there that you think you do. Plus the ones you really don't know. You know? But anyway, look, Jessica Rose Clark, she got her finish. There's not many chance finishes in women's MMA.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she's got many, and she got one.
She deserves a bonus? This is how I break it down.
No.
No? Like, what would you tell her she should have done better?
Well, there's only four, and I'm not... I'll just give you the bonuses right now. The bonus were Shimaev. You're not going to take one away from him. Costa, you're not going to take one away from him. Damon Jackson, that was pretty slick. You know, I mean, he submitted Mirsad Bektik.
But how much is that because of it was on short notice?
I don't know. I'm just saying that's a tough opponent, and he finished him.
Mm-hmm. He took his lumps too, though, right?
Lumps too, yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Jessica Rose Clark, what would you tell her if she were to say, well, why didn't I get it? What would you say? Like, you could have done what better? I think that's the whole definition of this bonus. The performance was phenomenal. Mm. I think she deserved one. And I know you're taking it away from, like, that's legit what Damon Jackson that did. That was
Damon
legit.
Damon Jackson's competition was tougher than yours. Yeah. But yours was still good. I'm not telling her, girl, get the fuck out of here. You don't, how dare you walk in with that complaint? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, hey, man, yours was dope. But we only have four out of 14 winners. And these are the ones. Dern got one, too. So that was two submissions and two KOs. The KOs you ain't stopping those. The submissions, I mean, I guess Randa Markos is probably a tougher opponent than Sarah Alpar as well. But mm-hmm. But Jessica Rose was more violent than Mackenzie Dern. So I think Mackenzie Dern probably would be the one that I swap Jessica Rose Clark for instead of Damon Jackson. I thought Damon Jackson's was really, really good, you know, because Mirsad Bektik was winning the grappling, for crying out loud. And mm-hmm. then he made so many different adjustments on that inverted guillotine. Anyway, so you got your bonuses, and we're through six fights. Next up, Damon Jackson submitted Mirsad Bektik. David Dvorak, decision Jordan Espinoza. And Kevin Holland beat Darren Stewart. That was a split decision. The previous one was a unanimous decision. Any thoughts on those three?
I feel bad for Mirsad Bektik. Because Mirsad Bektik's never had a fight where he's looked awful. You know what I mean? Like,
he was winning them all. Elkins, yeah. Jackson, and, well, it'd be hard to argue the Ige one. He just dug deeper. They both won a round, remember? And
it just seems like he comes in with the right strategies. He comes in pretty decent shape, does all the right things, but
he tires.
Something always happens.
He tires a little bit.
A little bit, but then he also keeps like a pretty big pace, so it's like... He's going for it, you know?
It just sucks that he hasn't been able to put it. In the first round with that complete gas tank and strength, that brute strength. Mm. He is awesome.
I feel like but if he had
starts to fall a little bit, he has to manage that better.
I feel like if he had all five, let's say, chips on the table, all the strengths you could have, I feel like he has them. He just never has them at the same time. Like, he can't ever put them all together. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's three in a row for him. Damon Jackson, he, I think he took the fight on 3 days' notice. What more does he want? 50 Gs, and he beat Bektik? Wow, that's incredible. Moving on, Mackenzie Dern defeated Randa Markos. We mentioned that earlier. So we're in the main card since the Holland-Stewart fight. Then was Dern and Markos. Johnny Walker defeated Ryan Spann. Man, those big dudes were hitting each other hard. Ryan Spann was on his way to beating Johnny Walker, and Johnny Walker flipped it on him. So that was a split decision there with the Holland fight, and then Dern and Walker both finished in the first round. In fact, I'll throw in Hamzat Shimaev. He punched Gerald Meerschaert's lights out in 17 seconds.
God, that was brutal.
I think Dana needs to tap the brakes on this. This is one of the greatest fighters we've ever
seen. Everybody needs to tap the brakes a little bit, because we just haven't seen enough. We're not saying what he's done isn't impressive.
It's all very impressive. It's all impressive.
We just haven't seen enough yet.
Right. I remember when Jones was doing some pretty amazing stuff, starting with in Minnesota, then in UFC 100, and he started a pretty quick ascension, and he started looking pretty spectacular. I remember being pretty wowed by GSP back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Connor actually was one where I actually doubted him a little bit, because I wanted to see the wrestler test, but he was smoking everybody else. But I think everyone fell in love with Connor because of his persona.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we started realizing, hold on, this motherfucker really does hit hard. And this guy really is precise.
He did get better, too.
This guy's really, you know, I mean, and then we started really, really recognizing a lot of the skills that we thought it was just some loudmouth who was getting conservative matchmaking, favorable matchmaking, and that wasn't the case. I mean, he really had some skills.
Yeah. Now, he did get better, too, along the way. But with this guy, like, I just need to see more of him.
Yeah.
I really do. And I don't even know. The problem is, like, Damian Maia, that's funny because it's already booked, you know, it's already set. But I don't know that we're going to prove that. Like, it's the wrong opponent. I think it should be somebody else.
Well, if he can submit Damian, that'll be pretty important.
Oh, yeah.
But if he stands there and Damian grabs a hold of that single, then I'd like to see him work out of that for sure.
Mm-hmm. You know? If he were to, like, KO Damian early, Damian shoots in, takes a knee or something, aren't we all going to go, Damien's older, this is the last fight,
probably.
He's probably checked out. Like, I wish we could give him that next tier guy. I don't know. I mean, not that Damian is a walk in the park either, right? But mm-hmm. You know what I mean, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So there is no fight booking just yet, but they were talking about Damian Maia. Then Dana said, how about a fight in between Damian Maia? And that's actually, now it's becoming kind of funny to me that he's pretty amazing. Look, I mean, I don't disagree with Dana, him, you know, if he uses the superlatives of amazing or whatever, but he went a little too far when I think he said he's the most impressed he's ever been. It's like, dude, do you not remember Ronda? I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, it's hard with Dana because, like, to us, sometimes maybe that sounds weird, but that's his fucking job, right? That's like when he wakes up, he looks in the mirror and says, promote, right?
Mm-hmm.
Make people want to buy your product, and that's how you do it.
Do it on ESPN, though. Don't do it in front of all the hardcore MMA media that, you know, they're looking at you, you know.
It's hard to check them.
You're a monkey or something.
Yeah,
because you want to get your questions in, and you're not going to sit there and argue, you know. But you know when the best time to do that is?
In person.
In person. Have you ever been to when he invites the media to a lunch?
Mm-hmm.
And he just does, I guess, he's there to promote something. But then while we're all there, everybody asks him a bunch of questions. So much that at the end, Dana White goes, all right, are we good? And everybody looks around and goes, yeah, we're good. But you get a chance to catch up on everything you've ever wanted to ask him. And he's there and he answers it all. Well, on those, there's been a little bit of pushback. Like, come on. People say that. Come on, you know. Because
mm-hmm.
I think it's just a different setting.
Yeah, there's no cameras. There's just, you know.
Yeah. Donald Cerrone defeated, Drew with Nico Price. They put him on the left, so I jumped the gun there, but it was a draw. Colby Covington defeated Tyron Woodley, stoppage in the fifth round, a TKO, rib injury. Looks like a broken rib, according to what I was looking at the x-ray. And tough way to end that fight for Tyron. I mean, if anything, dude, you know, Colby was already in a dominant position. I don't know if he would have maybe opened him up some more, or maybe punched him into an oblivion or what. He didn't even have to stand there for the presentation of the winner, or even extend his hand or none. He was laying on the ground. Mm-hmm. So if anything, maybe that was spared, because I don't know. I think Colby would have let him have it a little bit. You know what I mean?
I think so. That was brutal to watch. If you, regardless if you're like a Tyron Woodley fan or not, I think the one thing you can't say, he's a good dude. You know, he's a nice guy. He's done a lot for his community, done a lot for the UFC. It's tough to see a guy look like that in the last couple fights, because you remember him for being something else. Mm-hmm. And it's not to take away from Colby's performance. Colby's performance was spot on. I mean, if you look at the tactics he used, his strategy, everything was on point. The timing on that shot was amazing. The first one that he put Tyron on his back with, which that's what we always tell people. Like, if wrestling's your game, you got to take that early shot, because after that, Tyron probably became a little tentative, right? He remembers being on his back against Gilbert Burns, probably doesn't want to be back there again, and that's the whole thing with Tyron, is pulling the trigger. And I think Colby was smart to kind of pick at that early. It was a great performance for Colby. It was a little different than what we've seen in other fights. In other fights, he's got like that crazy pace but you can't really stand in front of Tyron. So I thought he did a great thing, especially considering the fact that he had to change camps and has brand new coaches and training partners. The dude looked probably as good as he could.
Yeah. What do you think of Cerrone and Woodley? Dana having some power, some strong words for both of them about hanging it up. You know, I'm going to have the conversation. I'd like him to retire. He said that to both.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can say that about Woodley, because Woodley, I don't know, has taken the damage that Cerrone has taken throughout his career, right? I mean, he's had bad losses where he's been dominated, but I wouldn't say he's been like, I mean, yeah, he had his cuts with Colby, but we saw it came from elbows. I wouldn't say he was just battered, completely battered. So Tyron, I think what it is you just, I don't think it's the fear that he's going to have brain trauma or anything like that. It's more that he's just not looking the way he used to. And that might tarnish his legacy a little bit, you know, if he goes out that way. So I can get that. Plus, he makes a lot of money. You know, Dana's probably not trying to pay him that much money unless he's going to be contending. Cerrone.
And it didn't seem like a bad blood fight. Did it seem that way to you?
No. Somebody said, was it Joey Odessa? Somebody said on Twitter, the moment that he went for that fist pump or touch of gloves.
And Colby walked away?
Yeah. Like, that said a lot.
I know.
And I as soon as he did it, I was kind of like, that, he's not in the same mindset that he's been trying to sell us
this whole time. I said that to Dave Manley, too. I said, right then and there, I knew, if you have money on Woodley, you're not liking that.
Mm-mm.
You know, at the stare down, same thing. I noticed Woodley was more chill, but that one I didn't mind so much because of the COVID era. Dana's right there. You know, I mean, it's not like Colby really touched him. It's just Colby got in his face, but Woodley was kind of playing the cool, you know, I got the shades on, you know, and I'm just kind of hanging out, been there, done that or whatever.
I appreciate the sportsmanship.
That little fist bump. Yeah, I knew that more than likely Colby wasn't going to do it, so I didn't understand why Woodley did it. But yeah, it did say a lot. And then I think in the fifth round, I think Woodley tried again for some sportsmanship. Colby was not having
it. Was it like a hug or something, right?
No, I don't think it was a hug. I'd have to go back and see it, but I just remember, I think I just made a mental note, yeah, like a high five that got dissed or something. And I just remember thinking, like, Dean Thomas and Duke Rufus just finished saying they were as honest as they could, knock this guy's block off. And you're right. They sold us a little bit on, for this training camp, they had to go to a dark place. Masvidal was brought in. And so I think that these guys dislike each other so much that I think if they wanted to, they could fake the hand touch and actually throw a punch. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, the other teams, the other guys' fans are going to say boo, and that's, you know, what the hell are you thinking, blah, blah, blah. But they already don't like you anyway, so.
I thought he did Colby a favor, because everything we're talking about, I think Colby's smart enough to realize that too. You know, like, this dude ain't in the dark place that he says he is. If he is, why the hell would he want to even shake my hand? You know, like, I'm the dude that's been saying horrific things about you for years. So I think right when he did that, if Colby had any fear, I think it probably melted away. Like, that was just a little bit of a relief for him. I think Tyron did him a favor there.
The biggest fear with Tyron is that big right hand.
Yeah.
That you'll just wake up.
He's got a nasty leg kick, too.
Ask people, well, where the hell am I? What happened? And you're a highlight. That's the scariest thing with Tyron, because he hits that hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you said, he does kick. He doesn't really wrestle much. He can submit you, you know, but he doesn't really wrestle much anymore. Most of the wrestlers, Phil Davis just danced for 15 minutes the other day, too. I don't think he had many takedown attempts. The wrestlers just get older. They just they don't wrestle as much. And but they... you know, a lot of them do develop some good power, and Woodley iced a lot of guys, you know. But that's that fear slowly melts away as the fight goes on. And once you realize, wait a minute, I'm actually taking it to that guy. It happens with Tyson and Buster Douglas and, mm-hmm. you know, in many fights. Remember Mark Coleman against Maurice Smith? Mm-hmm. Chopping at the tree, chopping at the tree. The last thing you wanted was for Mark Coleman to put you on your ass. Because he was going to headbutt you, ground and pound. You were just going to never get up, you know. So the longer you stayed up on your feet, the better. And if you got taken down, if you could mitigate the damage, the better, you know. But as the fight wore on, usually, you know, that guy that's either bullied or just been dominant, if you can, you know, crack that a little bit, then the tide changes.
Here's what I don't understand. If I'm Colby Covington, the whole time I'm thinking, how do I close the distance on this dude? He's got a really wide stance. He can cover a lot of ground. He's probably going to wait for me to come in, and he's going to blast me with that big right hand. How do I close the distance? And Tyron was doing him the favor of closing the distance, because when they would lock up against the cage, he would break away. There were times where Tyron escaped but would go back into that same position where he wasn't really doing anything. That's his the mind, part that's infuriating.
His mind was clogged, and your mind can be clogged for many different reasons. Rashad Evans used to say, I used to love learning more in camps and acquiring new skill sets, new tools to add to my tool belt, until he got older and realized, I know, not that I know too much, it's just I'm worrying about trying to use everything, and I'm just thinking too much.
I could see that.
Because yeah. I've acquired so many skills. Whereas you see some fighters, hey, man, I know I got a powerful right hand. I'm going to throw it. Hey, I know that I'm an amazing wrestler. I'm going to wrestle, you know, and they get right down to it, and they force you to deal with their strength. And if you check them, then they go to a plan B. But I see Woodley thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. And he's lucky, goes, that there wasn't any fans, because if the boos would have started raining in, then he would have hesitated anymore. But I could just see him thinking and thinking and thinking. When he still throws a kick or a punch, it still comes with a lot of ferocity, a lot of velocity, I should say. He just doesn't do it enough. They don't come in combos, in packs like that. The aggression, the risk take, the hunger of a younger fighter, there's something there, you know. And then when you get a little bit older, it just starts to go away, you know.
Let's talk about the craziest part of that whole fight.
The end.
Donald Trump,
yeah. So, every fighter, you know the whole drill. None of them actually meet with John Anik, who in this case is the post-fight interviewer. He basically does it remote. This one was with Megan Levy?
Yeah.
So they do this. This was post-event.
No, so yeah. So they did the post, right?
That's right.
Megan, but then they go in the back, mm-hmm. and then Megan does another one. And that one's for the post show.
And he says, hold on, POTUS is calling me.
So somebody hands him a phone. You could see it right there on the phone. It just says POTUS. Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh, I got to take this. You know, and he takes it. He
got excited like a little school kid.
Yeah. And I mean, come on, guys.
I'm not saying I wouldn't act the same way.
Right, left. It don't matter. That was kind of a cool moment, I think.
I think so, too.
But here's the thing. And I think you and I differ on this. you're of the opinion that they know 100% everything that's going on. And I agree for the most part. But in this particular situation, what I think happens is the president says, I want to speak to Colby Covington. Whoever his secretary says, done. Calls, says the president's on the line. So he's thinking the fight's over. And then you saw it wasn't, he didn't hand him the phone like he's on the line. It was still ringing, right? Mm-hmm. So Colby answered it. I don't know that the president knew he was live on TV. I'm not so sure. I agree with you that they try and know everything, but I think in this particular moment, they didn't know that part.
I'm pretty sure every call he makes is monitored. And so I believe he's being told.
But what are they
you're
doing?
You're on live TV or this is who you'll be speaking with. Everything he already knows, minus a certain call to Ukraine, that everything's pretty much on record, you know, and being recorded and will be listened to. So even if he wanted to go, hey, between you and I don't like Tyron. I don't even think he would say that. I think he already knows.
I think maybe somebody tapped him and said, hey, you're on live. Like, I think that might have happened, but I think the initial call, I don't think he knew that Colby had him on speaker.
Right, but okay, let's say Colby was already back at his hotel.
Okay.
And the president called him.
Right.
And they were just talking. Mm-hmm. I still think the president would act like he did when he called him for real. Like, I just don't think he would. You need to tell him, hey, you're on live TV. Because I don't think the president was going to say anything like, I never liked Tyron Woodley anyway, or people from Ferguson, you know, whatever.
I don't think say something like that, but you never know. It might be something like, man, you beat that motherfucker or something. Like, you never know. That sort of tone might change. I think that's where that's kind of a dangerous situation.
I don't think he would do that on the phone.
No?
No, I think they know that everything is recorded in some fashion. I guess, man, motherfucker's pretty bad. Yeah. I'm pretty sure about that.
No, I mean, I don't know.
In person, in person, like, remember when Colby and Donald met at that rally? Now, obviously, somebody was holding the phone, but if nobody was holding the phone, it was just them two, then maybe I could see him saying something. But I just think at this point, especially with the way things have gone for the president, he probably doesn't trust anybody. Because you can say, your phone cannot be out, but it doesn't mean that I didn't hit record and it's in my pants, right? Mm-hmm. So, hey, Mr. President, come on, tell me something. Tell me how you really feel about Biden or whatever.
I just feel like Colby should have said, by the way, Prez, you're on speakerphone or something. I mean, I would have, shit.
Maybe.
Can you imagine getting that call from the Secret Service?
Yeah.
Is you crazy?
I was happy. We've had good moments with both Colby and Woodley on the personal side. Woodley attended our 2000 show. He was part of the festivities. He hung out with Junkie Nation. And he's come to the studio a couple times. Always done the show via the phone or via video. And with Covington, I think the same applies. He's come to the studio. We had him on the phone, and then we did the military trip with him. So I like both guys. And again, like Ghost said, regardless of what side you're on, and I think you all know I'm a Democrat, I thought that was a cool moment for Colby. So, because he's on the right side. And he called him live during his fight. So, you know, good for him. You could see it. You could see the excitement on his face. He was really, really stoked.
I'll say this about both dudes. As crazy as they can get towards each other, I have no doubt that if for some reason we took them both on a military trip, they would not get into it that trip. I think they're that, like, Colby's that good with the troops that I think he would just chill or walk away or go up to his room. And I think Tyron is just great with people, cares about his country, his community, and I think he would chill too.
I think,
like, they could put things aside.
If they shared an elevator, or if, you know how we used to get together in that bar and drink, if they started shouting, allegedly, I think they would realize that they, out of respect for the base that they're at and the people that are around, I think they would calm down.
I think they would too.
Yeah. So, all right. Let's get into a fighter interaction that went in another direction than what we anticipated. Let's cover the news.
The Sneak is a true crime podcast from For the Win in USA Today, and this season is on a surfing champion whose life took a violent, tragic turn.
Within 30 seconds, they're both dead.
The Sneak, Murders at Whiskey Creek, is out July 29th, wherever you get podcasts.
All right. You're gonna see a lot of coverage on MMA Junkie, you know, what's next for Shimaev, Tyson Nam, Jessica Rose Clark. Everything we said, all the little anecdotes we threw out there. Her opponents getting married, what's her nose gonna look like in 3 weeks? Tyson Nam, is he gonna get the Benavidez fight? So we're gonna skip a little bit of that news and jump to UFC 253, which takes place on Saturday. Did you see the interaction of Izzy and Costa?
Yeah.
I didn't think that would go like that. Like, how long? All I saw was the picture, the frozen picture of the video of them two, and I thought, oh God, something must have gotten down in Yas Island. I was completely wrong. They actually shook hands. I think they teased each other a little bit. Izzy said, hey, you're skinny, you know, and I think I couldn't understand what Costa said back to him. And then they wound up kind of laughing, and I think maybe shaking hands one more time, and then they went about their business. You could hear Waleed Ismail.
He even kind of put his arm on his shoulder.
He was recording it, kind of laughing it off, which, by the way, that's a hothead right there. So if something went down, Waleed's not the type to go, hey, calm down, fellas. Let's save it for Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's actually getting down. And it was completely different. So good on them, in a way. Good on them. I think they've done enough of the Ricky Martin and skinny African or whatever the hell they're saying to each other. And they're just going to fight at this point. But it got me thinking, goes, these guys are both undefeated. These guys are both studs. Why is there, and don't tell me COVID-19, why does it seem like there's less excitement for this than Anderson and Chael?
You know, that might be one of our spinning back click topics. So it's funny that you bring it up. But I want to go back really quick just to that exchange. I thought it was a mistake.
Adesanya and Costa?
Mm-hmm. What has Dana White been telling us this whole time? Fireworks, right? And these guys have just been talking nonstop trash to each other. It kind of just reminded me of the little fist bump thing again with Woodley and Covington where you go, huh? Wait a minute, that doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You just sold me on how much these guys hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wait a minute. This doesn't make sense.
You think these that'll two guys show up on Embedded?
I hope not.
Okay.
I hope not, because us being hardcores, and we got our little casual fans, and we go, you got to watch this fight. These two guys hate each other. They've been talking smack all that. If they show that clip, you know our smart-ass friends. What's the first thing they're going to say?
I thought you said these guys were hotheads, and they hated each other.
Ah, come on, man. These guys are friendly. What is this, pro wrestling?
Yeah.
Where they act one way here, but then there it's different?
Yeah.
I think that's a bad idea if they do make that part of Embedded or any of that stuff.
It's got to be organic, you know. It's got to be organic. If those two rode down in an elevator, I don't think they can say, hey, look, next time we run into each other, let's push each other. Maybe they could, and maybe they could pull it off with the magic of editing. But if something isn't edited, it could get fished out. I don't know. There's a lot of dummies out there, too, that watch these videos and think everything's true. So who knows? But that part, the organic part, is pretty cool. Like, when I remember when Anderson got in Vitor's face with that mask, I just remember going, whoa, where did that come from? But all of a sudden, everyone walked out of the Mandalay Bay going, holy shit.
Because he's two-faced, right? Wasn't that his thing?
Something like that, yeah. And then he winds up kicking him. That's when Anderson became a star, goes. That fight. All those other ones before it, Travis Luter, and I mean, he had the amazing KO over Chris Lieben, you know, but all that Travis Luter, Patrick Cote, he wasn't that well-liked at that time. And then all of a sudden, that back-to-back, the weigh-in, and then that kick to the face, man, that was something else. But I'm excited about the card. There's two title fights. We got Dom and Jan. And then, and by the way, I freaked out when I heard that. Who was I listening to? I think it was Chael Sonnen. I was checking out his YouTube channel. And he said something. So I was playing a video as I was doing some work. And then I heard him say, Dom and Jan.
These are Dominic Cruz?
And Jan.
Peter Yan,
yeah.
Yeah.
I go, whoa. I had to rewind it. I had to refresh Junkie, and then I put Dom versus Young, and then Google. I was like, what happened to Aljamain Sterling? You know, like, what's going on here? I was kind of freaking out a little bit. Like, how would Dom get that? You know, because Dom is working off a loss to top it all off. But, of course, that doesn't matter to the UFC because they booked Jose Aldo coming off a loss. But still, I just remember going, oh, and then I laughed at myself. I go, how stupid could I be? Of course, Dominic Reyes and Jan Blachowicz, mm-hmm. not Peter Yan and Dominic Cruz. But I just drifted away, and it gave me that little freak out moment.
I could see that. It's
so funny. That's two title fights. That one's for the vacant title that Jon Jones just vacated. And then Izzy's defending against Costa.
On your birthday.
I can't wait. We have a watch along on Sportscaster. And don't forget, on Sportscaster, we have a third MMA Junkie show, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You guys should check it out, along with the two that we drop here on Mondays and Thursdays. Right now, when you hear me say late Sunday edition, we're recording it Sunday for it to drop on Monday on the website. But a lot of the other platforms, you guys are going to get it in your hands earlier than even some of the ones that really record on Mondays. That's kind of why we do it, honestly. And it spaces it a little bit further away from our live Wednesday show on Sportscaster. You should check it out. If you like what you hear, you get us in video, and we always have a guest. Anyway, anything else? Any final thoughts?
Just a overall, that was a great card. It was fun.
14 fights. A lot of first-round finishes, some good ranked fighters, some possible retirements, some controversies. Yeah, it definitely had a lot. Goes, we're not done yet. We're going to do one last segment. Make this one a quick one. Hey man, we like other sports, and even though we didn't catch a break with Manchester United losing their first game of the English Premier League, and even though the Washington football team lost their second in a row, and even though
it didn't,
you won last week.
Yeah, fool, we're the only ones that won.
Oh, my bad. So you're 1-1, and even though we won, I didn't even call Sam Alljam to give him a hard time. He was egging me on, but I think, like, he wasn't really too serious about it. I was bummed, man. We lost potentially four big names.
Four?
Yeah. And the NFL game, I as much fun as the win is, the injury report gives me a lot of anxiety. Just like, okay, who came out of this? Okay. I mean, I was telling a friend of mine, I think the athletes are so big, so strong, so fast, so physical that I when a player goes down, I'm hoping, instead of saying, hopefully he goes to the sideline and he's back after a couple series, I'm actually saying just sit him out and hopefully he's ready to go next week or the week after. I just don't want them to get carted off, because that's when you know the whole season's done.
On that, you know, stupid, I mean, janitor's cart.
Oh my gosh, dude! You just, these athletes like Saquon Barkley. I'm not even a Giants fan. That sucked. Saquon Barkley.
At least they get their money.
Julio Jones. Well, no. Well, yeah, they get the bonus. Does, right? No. The NFL's not guaranteed. Only your bonus. Baseball and basketball are guaranteed, not football.
Oh.
That's why you get the big signing bonus. The signing bonus, you usually don't have to return, but everything else is not technically guaranteed. And Jimmy Garoppolo, 6 weeks. Nick Bosa looks like he's out for the year. Raheem Mostert, our best running back, injured. Solomon Thomas, defensive tackle. D Ford, pass rusher. I mean, Kittle last week. Anyway, we'll put that to the side. NFL's fantastic. Love it. But how about that Laker game?
What can you say? I mean, look, man, a lot of people thought Denver is the Cinderella team. Hey, you got to give them their props. They did something pretty amazing.
They fought back.
And in this game, they fought back.
16 down.
But the Lakers is the type of team that sometimes just, people are going to hate me for this, but they're so good. Sometimes they just get bored out there, I think, and they start doing stupid shit, and they launch dumb shots that they're not supposed to. If they're tested, I think they're a little smarter, but I really don't think they fear the Nuggets.
I think
I'm sorry, and it's nothing against them.
If they would have lost this game, I think they still would have came back and won. But it obviously would have been 5-1. Or you never know, man. But I think now they're just going to hammer them and sweep them. That had to be demoralizing for the Denver Nuggets. That beautiful shot by Anthony Davis, who was the second option. They're going to try to get the ball to LeBron first, but Rondo passed it to... If you don't even like basketball, and definitely if you don't like the Lakers, I still think you have to do the Denver Broncos salute and just... what's it called?
Mile salute, High Salute.
Yeah, the Mile High Salute. You just have to stand up and go, hey, Lakers, you deserve this salute. That was an amazing game by the Nuggets and the Lakers. And I don't know if you heard me, but I screamed loud. I was loving it. Like that gave me some really, really good Laker emotion.
I think they're undefeated in the Black Mamba jerseys, right?
I don't know. Are they?
I think so.
Yeah. Anyway, folks, listen, thanks for your support. Thanks for putting up with us. I know sometimes we dabble with the other stuff. But look, the core of it, of course, is mixed martial arts. And you get Junkie Radio Mondays and Thursdays, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific is the official drop on the website. You can always go to Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or Apple Podcasts and just subscribe there. That way when we upload it, like when we do the late edition Wednesday and Sunday, that's early for Monday and Thursday. So you can get it in your hands like 8 to 12 hours beforehand by just hitting that subscribe button. Catch us over on the YouTube channel as well. That is youtube.com/MMAJunkieVideo. Goes and I are there every Tuesday for the spinning backlick. John and I do the rankings report. And you also can see the full videos of all the interviews we do with all the different fighters. Like this past week, I think we had, who was it guys? Joe Lazon, OSP. Who were our guests? I know we're holding one right now. I have, what was his name?
We have Sergio Pettis this week, Eddie Alvarez. Mm-hmm.
Those are the upcoming. Who was the last person we just spoke to? Was it OSP?
No.
No, someone else.
It was Laramie, TJ Laramie.
No, there was even one more, I thought, on Friday. Who did we talk to?
I don't remember.
Friday at noon. The show doesn't end until we guess it.
Ah, come on.
No, serious. Remember Friday at noon, I came back from the cardiologist, and then we did the interview at noon. Who was it?
I booked it, too. That's what's killing me.
Put on your thinking
cap. Oh, it was Walt Harris.
Walt Harris. That's right. We had a great chat with Walt Harris.
Yeah, Walt's cool.
We were trying to convince him to be a Man United fan. And after Saturdays.
Pull it with that.
Yeah. Anyway, you can catch all that, folks. Because, look, the recappers on the editorial team, they pick a topic or two. They write something about that part of the interview. And then the videographers put, like, 90 seconds of the interview. But there's usually interviews that are, like, 15, 20, 30 minutes long. And I'm telling you, if you go there, you'll like it. We discuss cool stuff there. So go to the YouTube channel. One more time, it's youtube.com/MMAJunkie. And go to our sportscaster for that Wednesday show at sportscaster.com/MMAJunkie. Excuse me. The YouTube was youtube.com/MMAJunkieVideo. There you go. On Instagram and Twitter, I'm at MMAJunkieGeorge. And Goes is at the Goes. We're going to bounce on out of here. Enjoy your evening. Go out there and be a champion.